Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Being in the position that I was in the Senate, fighting employment discrimination, was appropriate at that time. As Secretary of State, I was out of domestic politics, and I was certainly doing all I could on the international scene to raise the importance of the human rights of the LGBT community. And then leaving that position, I was able to, you know, very quickly announced that I was fully in support of gay marriage, and I am very, very hopeful that we will make progress and see even, you know, more change and acceptance.
As former First Lady, former Senator, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, recently on Fresh Air with Terry Gross from National Public Radio, answering a question about why it seems her position has evolved on same-sex marriage. She's recently come out saying she's in full favor of redefining marriage, but she really always has been, trying to explain why that hasn't been so evident. Joining us to talk about some recent statements made by Hillary Clinton on same-sex marriage, Chris Plant. He's regional director for the National Organization for Marriage, based in Washington, D.C. Chris, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
What's your reaction to former First Lady's Hillary Clinton's explanation for why she hasn't always been so obviously in favor of same-sex marriage, but now so obviously is?
Well, you know, what Ms. Clinton has done, I'm not sure where she comes from, but I asked this question. Why is it that in 2008 she could be fully against redefining marriage, as was Brandon Eich from Mozilla, and he gets tossed out of his job? We do have to ask a question of our politicians, whether it be the president who has, quote-unquote, evolved well in 2008, he was against same-sex marriage, as was the First Lady. This is certainly, you know, they have decided that this is a politically correct thing to do, and it's going to move, they think it's going to move their positions forward. The president thought that in 2012, and now Hillary Clinton does now in 2014.
She says in the interview with Terry Gross of Fresh Air that while she was a senator, she always considered marriage a state's issue, and she says that strategy has been the strategy that has actually worked to redefine marriage, and she hopes that continues. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it should be a state's issue, and we certainly hope that the Supreme Court, when it takes up one of these marriage cases that are circulating through the system right now, probably they'll take it up in the next 12 months, we certainly hope that they will uphold the state's rights to define marriage as they see fit. That was the rationale in the DOMA case last year, the Windsor case. The state, at the basis of their decision was that the definition of marriage is the purview of the state. So we would agree with Mrs. Clinton on this, that the states should decide, that it should be a public vote of the individual states, not individual justices legislating from the bench overturning the Democratic votes of tens of millions of Americans.
Well, there's no secret, of course, that Hillary Clinton hopes to be a candidate, at least, for president in 2016. And I'm wondering whether or not this is a necessary rite of passage for her now. Now that President Obama has come out saying that he is in favor of redefining marriage, seems to have set the bar for future candidates for the president. Does she have to do this if she wants to win primaries, win over her party, win over her party's supporters in terms of money in order to run for president?
I think that's absolutely correct. She will face in a primary probably somebody who has always said they would redefine marriage, who has a more consistent track record on this, albeit I would believe that they are completely wrong. And she has to make this adjustment for the various political calculations. She has a track record of saying marriage should be one man and one woman. She has a track record of saying she disagrees with the redefinition of marriage. She has a track record of saying that states should be the ones who decide what marriage is. And now she's going to have to go up against a party that is completely committed to redefining marriage, redefining what it means to be a husband and wife, and redefining what it means to be a mother and father.
So it sounds like political expediency combined with, how would you say it here, Chris, finally admitting what her position may have been all along in spite of her husband's signing of DOMA, his very vocal, as he said, opposition to governmental recognition of same-sex or same-gendered marriage.
Well, I can't pretend to get in her mind, but certainly there's enough history of her statement saying that she believed marriage was one man and one woman. So I would just say it is an evolution, that, as we saw with President Obama, that all of a sudden they evolve when the political calculus says it's time to evolve. Her position was exactly the same as President Obama's in 2008. And, you know, I want to make sure that we ask this question. How is it that they can hold a position in 2008 that says marriage should be one man and one woman, and yet a man like Brandon Eich, who holds that same position, is fired from his job, forced to resign? There is some real hypocrisy here. There is a double standard that the American people need to deal with.
Now, I'm wondering about what lies in the future, because, of course, if things continue to evolve, isn't it legitimate to ask questions of those who have these evolving positions on marriage, be it President Obama, Hillary Clinton, any others of either party? Well, if this is an evolution, do you plan to stop here? Is further redefinition of marriage, perhaps in the future, necessary? Do you think that's a fair question to ask of those who have said, my positions on this issue are not necessarily based on any conviction about marriage, but on the evolving circumstances?
It's a great question to ask, because when we redefine marriage for one group, in this case, same-sex partners, there is really no legal, philosophical, or logical stop or reason to not do it again for the next group that gains enough political power, enough media attention to say, we want to be able to be married, whatever group that may be. And this is not hypothetical. Canada redefined marriage, and now they are facing strong court cases to legalize polygamy. There are smaller court cases even here in the United States. When we redefine marriage, when a politician decides to evolve on the issue, that evolution doesn't necessarily stop, and we should be asking our politicians, well, just as you said, if you evolve from marriage as one man and one woman to marriage as any two people, why won't you evolve again to tomorrow to something else? That is a very good question to be asking.
Finally, in the interview with Terry Gross, Hillary Clinton expressed some mild annoyance at those, she said, who think that they have a direct line to the divine or are unwilling to reconsider these big questions like the definition of marriage. What's your reaction to that?
I'm not entirely sure. We have marriage is an eternal truth. Marriage has been the bedrock of human society from the beginning. Marriage binds the two halves of humanity together. And you know, while she may choose to evolve on this, her evolution does nothing for changing what marriage truly is.
Is there an opportunity, about 30 seconds here, Chris, is there an opportunity for those national-level politicians, perhaps even presidential candidates, in this evolution language to simply say, look, this has been my position on marriage all along. This is a position I think it has been historic in Western society. And no, my position is not and will not evolve on marriage, one man and one woman. Is that an opportunity for those who advocate for natural marriage?
Absolutely, and we expect at the National Organization for Marriage, we are going to work hard to find a presidential candidate who does exactly that, who stands for marriage, who says, this is not something that I am going to change on. I am going to defend it. I am going to defend the American people's rights to define marriage as one man and one woman. I am going to defend this definition, and I will not allow it to be changed. That is a question that we should be asking all of our political candidates in the coming cycle. and the National Organization for Marriage will be leading on that question.
Very briefly, are you concerned that among other candidates, it will be difficult to find one who isn't willing to at least consider an evolution in position? About 10 seconds, 20 seconds.
No, I think we will be able to find one. Whether or not that person comes out on top through the primary process will be one of candidacy and one of how the National Organization for Marriage and our allies work to push that person forward.
Chris Plant is Regional Director for the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
When we come back in hour two of Issues, Etc., we're going to do a little sermon review. Pastor Jeremy Rohde has preached a Trinity Sunday sermon on Baptized in the Name of the Triune God, a little sermon review. And then Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is going to join us. We're going to talk about Joel Osteen's recent meeting with Pope Francis. Now, you say, I can't think of two religious leaders more different, more contrasting than Joel Osteen and Pope Francis. Don't think so fast, says Chris Roseborough. You'll find out more in hour two of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.